It's Friday, August 31st, 2012, and welcome to episode 135 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Welcome back to the back-to-school episode this time.
Yay!
Everybody across the nation's heading back to school for the fall semester, so we're off for a new semester. And this time up, I thought we would take a little bit of time and talk about some technology triage.
Very important.
So this time, you know, technology coordinators all across the country, teachers all across the country are coming back en masse. We have a tidal wave hitting all of our schools. And, you know, no matter our best efforts, there's bound to be a problem or two out there.
That's right. We have those swings from ecstatically happy to, oh my gosh.
It's like, is this thing working? So we'll just go over just some very basic troubleshooting tips and things just to kind of refresh all of our memory and give some tips out there how you can help your technology support people. And a lot of changes, you know, a lot of improvements have happened over the summertime, so we want to share some of that. Now, next up, we have Cindy going to give a section on the National Book Festival.
That's right. Sort of a current event section here, I guess. But in every September, the National Mall plays host to the National Book Festival. And last year there were 200,000 people at the book festival with over 100 authors. So it is a growing, living, thriving event. And we're very fortunate because the Library of Congress, for those of us who can't get there, have access to a lot of these great events and special projects online.
Yeah, a lot of online resources out there to share with you. So, and then we'll wrap it up with our technology picks of the week.
Perfect.
All right, so here we go. Welcome to our first section today, and today, since it's back to school time across the nation, I thought we would do a technology triage section.
And I think that is perfect, because even though tech coordinators have spent all summer getting everything ready and set up, it always seems like that first week is when anything that can't, Murphy's Law, if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. And sometimes there's not really anything wrong, right?
Right. So, yeah, we'll talk a little bit here. So it has begun. Schools across the nation are opening up their doors for everyone coming back to school en masse. So one of the things that's always difficult from a technology planning standpoint is capacity planning and things. You know, you can try something and it will work fine when nobody's around. But whenever your networks are inundated with traffic and things, that's always a different story. But there's some common sense rules out there, so I thought we'd spend a little bit of time sharing some lessons learned, I guess, over the years. And I'll start with what I call the big three and plan B. And these may seem very, very simple, but I can tell you from experience, having worked at other schools and corporations and other workplaces for that matter, you know, whenever you're troubleshooting, going out there and something doesn't work, some people will just throw up their hands and say, you know, that's it, I can't do anything. But there are some very, very basic troubleshooting steps that, you know, more than 50% of the time will take care of the problems.
Sometimes the most obvious is what we don't see.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the most obvious things to begin with is, like I said, the big three. Number one is ask yourself, is it plugged in? And, you know, that may sound simple and it may sound silly, but I can tell you just this week that two or three problems that, you know, I got calls on, it was just simply a matter of something not being plugged in.
And it may be plugged in the wall to electricity, or it may be plugged in the correct port on the computer, which I experienced this morning when I tried to plug my headphones into the wrong spot. So.
Right. Yeah, so just something simple as that. And things move over summer. People do not realize how much goes on. And pretty much in many schools, every single computer would be moved out of a room and the floors waxed and custodial staff coming in, things being moved back, and, you know, not necessarily everything's getting plugged back in, or perhaps they're plugged into the wrong port, you know, somebody racing through trying to connect some things. So That's always the first thing. Check and see if it's plugged in. Second thing, you know, make sure you have power. You know, that's part of the plugged in portion of this. Make sure you have electricity and power. And the way our computers are set up in our classrooms here at EIU is we kind of have a master power cable that goes plugs into the wall.
Right.
There's also a master power switch, which very seldom gets turned turned off. But, you know, if we had a lightning storm or something, sometimes those things trip. You know, you might have to hit a reset on a surge suppressor or something like that. Second thing is it turned on? Again, something very, very simple, but I've worked in corporations where I've had to go to the CEO's office and listen to the CEO complain that, you know, this computer never works or anything, and very, you know, diplomatic, I guess would be the word. Very diplomatic, I would reach up and turn the power to the monitor on, and suddenly the computer's working, and you can see the screen. So there's many things like that. Again, especially with things being moved around in the summertime, sometimes something just as simple as is it plugged in and is it turned on.
And sometimes we have carts, or we get new carts over the summer, and there may be a power surge protector or a power source on the cart, and you need to familiarize yourself with that as well to know to look at that. I've done that one before where. It just, the power was coming from the wall, but it wasn't getting from the cart to where I needed to be.
And then finally, I mean, the old standby is reboot. You know, if your computer's on and you're experiencing problems, it's not making connections, you know, whether it's Mac or PC, sometimes it's a simple reboot will take care of the problem. And those are just three very, very quick things that you can do to help out your technology support staff. And especially that first week, because, you know, literally here at EIU, we have over 10,000 students hitting campus all at once. And it's like this great big tidal wave coming at you. And we're dealing with password resets and changes and new systems coming in. The first week of class, I always come in early that first day of class. And I go around to every single classroom, turn everything on, make sure everything's working, just to kind of do some proactive things out there. That, you know, nobody ever sees, but, you know, hopefully that will make the experience better for, you know, the faculty member and for the students being able to access that equipment. So those are just three basic things. And then I guess the fourth thing, as teachers, you know, as K-12 teachers and university professors, we all know that things just go wrong from time to time. And as a professional teacher, you need to be prepared for when things don't work.
Right.
And as a professional, you know, if something doesn't work, you need to go to that plan B. You know, if you're planning on showing a DVD or something and your projector's not working or something, what's your fallback plan?
Right. And that's one of the things when I do presentations on the Library of Congress, you know, there are times when I either don't have internet access or the site's being serviced or the site is down and I can't get to it. And so luckily, a lot of things we can save. So I save those images and those audio and video files and have that backup available. Right. Just in case, because you never know, and otherwise you're doing a song and dance for 50 minutes, and that's kind of tough.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, we both present at conferences and things, and you never know what you're going to get at a conference center. So, you know, for some of the higher stakes things, where, you know, when you don't know if you're going to have internet connection or not, you can actually simulate that by just simply taking screenshots and placing it into a PowerPoint. Never let that opportunity go. And, you know, especially that first week of class, it's many people are going over their syllabi and, you know, just going over, you know, what some of the ground rules are and the grades and all of that. And take that opportunity, introduce the class and do some of the icebreaker activities that we all do. So, as hard as we try to make everything perfect, there's going to be bumps in the road. So, you know, just please realize that there's just some basic things that we can do, and always have that alternative out there. And even if the electricity goes off, you know.
Oh, absolutely. We've had that here on campus a couple of times.
And, you know, just because it goes off, if you're in my class, you're probably still going to have class unless, you know, it's an emergency situation or something. But so those are some basic things. Just a few other things to kind of help out with your technology support whenever you're calling in problems. You know, ask around and see, are others in your area having similar problems?
Right, because that could identify a bigger problem.
Right. Is it local to your computer sure. or device, or does everybody in your section of the building have it? If you're lucky enough to have a mobile device and say you're trying to get to an internet resource, you know, maybe try it on yourself on your mobile phone.
Right, and see. Just see if it's somebody, because it may be somebody completely different that needs to be contacted.
Right. And these are all little pieces that the help desk and the technology support people need to kind of put together the mystery to kind of solve the problem.
Well, and also, a lot, most of us as teachers, we don't have time to wait for somebody else to come fix things. And so anything we can do to figure it out on our own is good, because that way we don't lose precious time that you don't have to come to our office. And so instead of sitting there on our hands, we're actually going through what we are, what's within our capabilities.
Right, and asking your neighbors and things, that's being proactive, and it's like, well, you can solve that problem for them before they even realize that there is a problem.
There you go.
So, you know, we're all in this together to make it the best experience we can for our students. The other thing, is it a network problem? Like I said, it's kind of a tidal wave this time of year. I mean, just everybody just shows up at once. And if you look at our broadband capacity, some of the charts and things, I mean, it's just a spike. Right now this first week, and all systems are going well. The other thing, and this is becoming more and more common both in K-12 and in higher ed, cloud services are becoming more and more popular. And this first week of classes, particularly university students, are adding and dropping, and you know, classes and the class schedules change all of the time, so rosters are constantly changing.
Right.
K-12 schools are often dealing with that because they're having disparate systems. So say they have a cloud service for like Renaissance Learning or something like that, accelerated math.
Right.
And, you know, students have to have IDs and passwords to get into those systems.
Sure. And parent systems now are more common.
Right. So you're going to be managing a set of user IDs and passwords for the parents out there as well. And the students, whether it be, you know, Renaissance Math or Accelerated Reader or some of those different ones, those are all different systems. And, you know, we're lucky here at EIU that we have a single sign-on system where we try to integrate all of those things together so that you have that one user ID and password to get to things.
Sure. And, you know, this is from the untechy person saying this, but, you know, it makes sense that you would think you would have almost a bottleneck effect when all of the students are back and all of the faculty are back and everybody's using all of the systems. And then records are being accessed at the same time.
Right, it is. It does. It does affect that bandwidth and things. And, you know, things will slow down the more traffic. It's just like a highway when you're in rush hour traffic.
Exactly. There you go. Know?
And, you know, and another thing, you know, here at the ITC, we check out, we've got laptop carts. We've got a new iPad cart going out. The other thing to understand is the density, you know, how closely those devices and things are together. So if you wheel in a laptop cart with 15 or 30 laptops and you're accessing one access point to get out to the internet, it's kind of like, you know, that traffic analogy, taking 30 lanes of traffic and that one access point has that one lane going out to the internet. So, again, you're going to have a little bit of a traffic jam.
Okay.
Also, your load capacity issues, particularly in wireless, depending upon what type of network traffic you're pushing, and video is, you know, huge file sizes, so that's going to have a much more dramatic impact than going out there and doing something text-based out there. So realize some of the limitations and some of the you know, some of the options out there that you may have. You know, you may not want to send all 30 of your students to, you know, that one video out there at the exact same time.
Right.
So.
Well, and don't you think a big part of it too is, as the instructor or teacher, how you react when something does go wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
Because we want to model for students that you don't panic, you don't get angry, you don't, you know, show that you're completely flustered.
Right.
That you want to model for them how to maintain order in the classroom and keep things going, and, you know, because otherwise the students pick up on it and their stress level goes up. And that, so, you know, it's really good. And we see that here at the university, and that some teachers don't handle it as well as others.
Right. And as a teacher education institution, you're absolutely correct in that. And that's, as I said, that's just part of being a professional, adapting to those changes, adapting to adversity, because, you know, if you're a modern teacher in today's classroom, you're certainly going to be seeing a lot of diversity and a lot of problems. And,
right. Never let them see you sweat.
Right. Right. The next thing I have just to kind of mention here, again, I call this technology triage because really that first week back to school, all technology coordinators know exactly what I'm talking about because particularly here in our area of rural Illinois, there's, you know, one, you know, like me, I'm one person serving nine departments. We've got over 500 computing devices and things now, and that ratio, if you do the math, it doesn't work out so well. So we need to find ways to work smarter and batch some things together. Some changes and things. Something simple is like, well, I need to go update a computer. Well, it takes 10 minutes per computer. 10 minutes, 500 devices, that's 5,000 minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
Divide that by 60 minutes an hour, I think we're up around 80 hours.
Yeah, and you
for
don't...
For one 10-minute change.
And you don't do anything else, right?
No. No, that's if you, exactly. So, we, you know, how can we work things together? Like in our labs, we do, you know, mass updates and using management tools and things to help make our jobs a little bit easier.
Yeah, and so working smarter, and you are constantly learning.
Yes.
And so it's crazy for anyone else to think that they don't have to update their skills.
Right.
Whether they're faculty or students or administrators, they need to be updating their skills and learning how to do things,
right,
and not just do it and then say what went wrong and expect somebody else to help them.
Right.
So across the board, we all need to be continuously learning
right,
about all of these things.
And that kind of leads to one of my least favorite questions. You get asked this a lot. It's like, did anything change over the summer? I would much prefer that to be turned into, well, what's new
this
semester? Because I can guarantee you some things have changed over the summertime. You know, no matter where you're at.
Right.
You know, we take a lot of pride in having our systems reliable and functioning, and we do a lot of this work over summertime when faculty and staff are away, so we have
right,
the least impact. We do updates and things early in the morning, late at night, in the middle of the night to provide as have as least impact as possible. Some other things, you know, on the alternative side of things, you know, if say you're having trouble saving to a computer and things, to a network drive, you know, maybe the network's acting up and you can't save to a
right,
network drive. It's like, can you save locally? Can you save it to the desktop? Can you save it to a USB drive? You know, those alternatives exist. Printing is a big one right now. Again, our students have syllabus, and many of our students still print out the syllabus, even though we provide them electronically and we discourage that. But still, we're kind of in this paper-based world.
Sure. Like to have that to hold in our hands.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, our generation especially, and then the younger the students too, though, because they like to put notes on them. They like to just have them to refer to easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I guess ask yourself, you know, do you need to print it out? And then secondly is, particularly in our faculty staff areas, we have multiple printers mapped so that if one printer's not working, you know, can you print to a second printer?
Right.
Yeah, it may not be the convenient one to print to, but you know, there are alternatives out there. Kind of on this triage, you kind of have to prioritize right, this first week and then come back. And
then you throw in the brand new copy makers.
Yeah, that was exactly. We have a new copier contract, and again, people don't realize every computer, if you want to print to that copier, needs to be touched to go to print to that copier. So, yeah, that was a little curveball that was thrown late in the summertime, you know, right before school starts.
So when they say, did anything happen over the summer, you know, I think 3 months in technology time is like 7 years.
It is.
Sort of like dog.
We really cram a year's worth of work into that 3 month period. And at the same time, we're not shut down as a university. We have summer school,
classes.
So we're continually, the week before we had 1 week, the end of summer classes stopped with final exams. We had 1 week that I quote unquote was an off week. But I completely dismantled the ITC lab during that week and put in brand new machines.
Yep.
Again, so it's kind of like working on an airplane whenever it's flying. It's like we've got these little windows that we have to get in there and do the maintenance the best that we can.
Sure.
Some other things, ask your neighbors, you know, if they're having troubles or issues going through, and that just kind of helps doing some of the troubleshooting. And whenever you call the help desk or email or, you know, whatever your organization's method is for reporting problems, be specific, you know, provide a room number. All of our computers have asset numbers on them, so they're all tagged. So we always identify our computers by numbers. Identify the room number, be specific with the problem. If it's a specific error message, consider even printing out, doing a print screen or something, mm-hmm. and, you know, posting or pasting that into a Word document, and you can even attach that to an email to the help desk, because that's one of the first things somebody's going to ask you at the help desk. It's like, right. Well, what error message did you get? And it's like, oh, I don't know. There's a box that popped up. So being specific helps with that process so we can get things fixed. Password resets, as I mentioned, are huge this time of year. And, you know, stressing the personal responsibility of keeping everything secure.
Right.
I mean, we did a podcast probably about a year ago called Keys to the Kingdom, where I talked with Adam Dodge, our former security officer here at EIU. And, you know, you're only as secure as that password. So keep it confidential. This time of year also, I don't know if you've noticed in your email, that's also kind of a prime time for some phishing scams.
Yes.
So I've saw a couple of those, and phishing scams with a phishing, where they try to get you to, they'll send you an email and say, hey, I'm your tech support department. We're getting ready to reset systems. Would you please send me your username and password so we can help you? And it's an attempt to compromise your account. And
I received one that was, your inbox is full, and so, or you've met your quota, your quota for content. We need that.
And a lot of social engineering's going on. You know, we may be very technically sound, but there's a social aspect to it, so they're trying to trick you into giving away this information, and kind of a dead giveaway is it. And they make it sound very serious. They'll spoof the name of your IT department or something, make it sound very official.
They do.
They'll maybe make a bit of a threat saying, if you do not fill out this form in the next, you know, 24 hours, we're going to shut your email account down,
right?
Or something to add a sense of urgency out there. And you know, our IT department will never ask for the username and password.
Right.
And so that's being technologically savvy and kind of, you know, being careful out there.
Right. It's always better to just delete them and then contact the person who's responsible and say, did you send that? And if you did, I'm sorry, I deleted it. Can you send it again? And chances are they'll say, no, they did not send that.
Mm-hmm. The roster sign-in issues, again, particularly, it takes usually about a week to get things sorted out or something. We always have a 10-day roster here, mm-hmm. so, you know, things are settled down by that point. But, you know, those first couple of days particularly, students are adding, dropping classes as slots become available and moving some things around.
And I think, you know, K-12 schools deal with that too, because some of them are doing new lunch count systems or new attendance systems and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so when you're dealing with it over the summer, it's nice and neat and tidy. But that first day of school, when everybody's using it,
it's that tidal wave again.
It is.
You know, just everything hitting you once. And that's a prime example, because like lunch count systems, those are disparate systems where it's a separate user ID and password and things that you're not tied back to that student information management system.
Yep.
And that all takes time and, you know, an effort to manage those multiple user IDs and passwords. The other thing, new projects and things, perhaps it might be best to wait a week to let things kind of sort themselves out before, you know, hitting up your technology coordinators and things about, you know, we've had all summer and, you know, I taught an emerging technology class. There's all kinds of things that we can try. But maybe not that first week. You know, let things sort themselves out.
Kind of use that emergency room theory of how would you rate your pain on a scale from 1 to 10?
Yes,
we can make a little chart.
Yes, that's a good analogy. There's another saying, RTFM. I don't know if you've ever heard that saying in the tech support community. Read the fine manual.
No,
that's the clean version. Let me Google that for you. You know, Google's yes. kind of our friend out there for doing some of those things.
Oh, absolutely.
Also, local resources. Be sure to check out your local resources. And that's something, you know, that maybe we can do a little bit better job of in the future. We have the ITC website. You know, we've right. got the Tech Talk for Teachers podcast that we share a lot of technology tips and tricks. We're beefing up our YouTube presence, so I've got some new things out there on using that. Maybe we need to
frequently ask questions.
Yeah, like do a FAQ or you know ask the ITC yeah. or tips and tricks this time of year just to share back and forth because that's how you know this interaction that we have back and forth. We learn so much from each other.
That's a great idea.
So, you know, having said that, you know, we're off to a very successful start to the school year.
I love the beginning of a school year. It's yeah. so, the optimism, the hope, I mean, everybody is so excited.
A fresh start.
It is. It's, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Yes. Because I just love the, like I said, the optimism mm-hmm. and the excitement that comes whether they're mm-hmm. preschool or kindergarten or college.
Right. And here on campus, new faces, students off right. on their own for the very first time.
Yeah.
Just kind of seeing things through their eyes. I always appreciate the students that come here. You know, we have Thursday move-ins mm-hmm. before the first day of school. I always appreciate the students coming in with their schedules and looking for the rooms.
Rooms.
It's like, oh, you know. You're right on. You're out there thinking.
Out.
Yeah. And then the faculty and staff, it's like, you know, like I said, what's new? It's like, come in, you know, the day before your class starts when nobody's around and make sure, you know, nothing's changed. Because we have had some, I mean, major upgrades and major changes. And right. we try to be as non-disruptive as possible. Right. But there's
It may be as simple as just put your USB in the computer and see what happens and how it comes up and what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So then you're not searching for it. You'll
right.
recognize it right away and it just saves little pressure. Moments in mm-hmm. those first classes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, having said all that and going through some of the triage and technical support, things are bound to sometimes not go completely the way that we would hope that they would. But we have tremendous opportunities right now with all the possibilities that we can do.
Oh, my.
With all the new systems and things that we've put in, you know, we have audio, we have video, webcam, Skype, flipped classroom type materials that we can do. All of that's available now on just the basic, you know, computer setup. We try to use the free and open source software as much as possible because we know, you know, whether it be the university or the K-12 system, that schools don't have a lot of money to spend on, you know, super expensive systems.
Right.
And it's just amazing what you can do with, you know, just the average, average computing experience that we have available. We've got all that. As I said, we've got a brand new ITC lab. I'm very happy with that. That's gone very well. I don't know that, knock on wood, that I've had any issues at all or anybody saying anything with that. So
well done.
Hopefully we did that right. There are a lot of new capabilities and things out there. So, you know, again, this is all across the nation, all the technology support people. And please remember that, you know, as faculty, teachers and things, that some teachers have had the summer off, but the technical support staff have been here and, you know, working every day, getting those systems, doing those upgrades. And as I said, trying to be as least disruptive as possible. And when that tidal wave comes, you know, it'd be nice just to say, you know, thank you for what
Absolutely.
You've done. And the custodial staff as well with, I mean, the building's looking great and all of those things, those invisible things that things just work.
The small repairs that keep us from having large problems
right.
later.
Yes. So those are just a few of the technology triage tips out there. So hopefully your school's off to a great start. And I know a few schools, particularly on the East Coast, haven't started yet. But on my Twitter feed and personal learning network out there, I am seeing, you know, my friends out there talking back and forth about that first week of school. So here's to a successful school year.
That's right. Happy New Year.
Next up, we have the National Book Festival, which we wanted to make you aware of. Since our podcast, we're currently podcasting once a month near the end of the month, and this event's going to be occurring, I believe, the third week of September. So we wanted to make the Tech Talk for Teachers audience aware of this opportunity. And Cindy, I think you have a lot more information to share here.
I do. It's going to take place in the National Mall on September 22nd and 23rd. And unfortunately for teachers, that's a rough time of year to get away, to go to something like that.
Yeah, back to school month.
Exactly. And so the library's done everything they can to those teachers who can't be there, make it feel like you are. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge part of the library's website. And what they've done this year that I really like, because they've split, they have so many authors come, and I was very fortunate to get to go last year. Mm-hmm. And that, but you have different tents with different themes, and whether it's history, young authors, children's literature, fiction, nonfiction, self-help, you know, all kinds of things like that. And they have presenters all day for two days ongoing, and you can't see all of them even if you do go. So sometimes you miss one that you would have liked to have seen that are going simultaneously. But for those of us who are, you know, at home, a really great thing they've done is they've created, it's an RSS feed where you can sign up, because they have both audio and video podcasts.
Oh, good.
So even if it's not on the day that it's happening, it's later in the school year, you're going to be either teaching about a specific author or an event or a book or anything that connects with it. You can go in and watch that presentation and listen to it if it's an audio. But with the RSS feed, as they're happening, you'll receive an email or an RSS, you know, on your Google Reader or whatever you use, about something that's just been posted. Mm-hmm. So as they're being posted, you're getting this little update, and the author's name will be there. And so if it is someone that you really are interested in, you can watch it right away and take part. And I don't know for sure if they're live or not. I think they are. They that you can watch them live. Mm-hmm. But they're also saved. And so you can go in and watch them later. Or, like last year, I was telling you, I saw Garrison Keillor, which I think is, you know, if you're teaching modern American lit or something like that, it would be a really neat presentation, because he talked about his poetry and some of the things he wrote and did and where his inspiration came from. And that's still there. There are podcasts from 2010, 2009, several of the older.
So archived out there.
They're archived. So whether you're teaching an author or a book or a writing style or anything along those lines, these are all tools and resources that are available for you all the time.
Right.
No cost, that you can access on the Library of Congress website.
Right. And as you know, as we do research and things, it's you occasionally come across, you know, those treasure troves out there where you're out there searching for something, and then you realize that, you know, this event has been going on for multiple years, and it's what we call evergreen content, in the sense that, you know, that Garrison Keillor interview is just as applicable this year as it was last
year,
you know, versus something that's like in the news this week that's going on, like the hurricane currently going on down in, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
That's going to be, you know, a story this week. Well, hopefully it's only this week and it's nothing, you know, super major or anything.
No kidding.
But, you know, that's content available out there. And the nice thing being archived, and with those links, you can bring that into the classroom for your students.
Right. Absolutely. You know. And sometimes when you go to an author's website, they're sponsored. They either have a publisher or an editor or someone who's promoting things on that site. And you may or may not want to send students to that. But Library of Congress is someplace that, you know, is pretty safe or is safe that you can send your students to that site. And maybe they're going to pick an author from the list and share information with their other students on it or whatever. Or if you just want to learn more or if you just get a kick out of hearing why somebody wrote some of the things that they wrote. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful way to hear those individuals talk about their books and not have to spend a few thousand dollars to go all the way to D.C. and do it.
Yeah. You mentioned RSS feeds and things out there. I assume they have the blog that they're updating.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Some may not be aware what an RSS feed is. It's essentially a place that you can go, and as you said, I use Google Reader, that you can sign up for that feed, and it will automatically, any new content will automatically be coming to you versus you going out to that site. It's like, is there anything new?
Right.
new? And And, you know, I kind of go off and on various RSS feeds on how useful, but something that would be updated kind of like in real time, even if you were particularly, you know, in person at that event, that would be very useful to you, you know, in person.
Right.
To go in. And I know some conferences and things are starting to do that. Or it's kind of like your Twitter feed.
Right.
If you're at a conference, it's like sharing those things. It's like, you know, such and such station's going on now in room such and such if you want to come see.
And actually, this event, the National Book Festival, and some conferences that I've attended have now where they, if you're tweeting, they'll give you hashtags mm-hmm. and say, you know, please include mm-hmm. this because that way everybody else will see and people will look for those.
And some even go that extra step and will include that Twitter feed on their website or blog or whatever, and you will see those coming across in real time. Now, those of us that use Twitter, I use a program called TweetDeck that you can actually subscribe to those hashtags, and it's just a continuous stream of anything related to that event.
Oh, wow. I've never looked at that.
But various things that you have, then you can say, oh, that's all related to this particular conference, which is extremely handy, again, particularly in real time when you're out there. But it's also valuable for me because, unfortunately, I don't get a chance to travel a lot, and it's such an expense. And then, plus, you're also paying the price when you get back from all the work, you know, that you've missed. But that has expanded my horizons professionally so much because I'm talking to leaders in the world out there on those particular conferences. And even though, you know, I'm not there, we can bounce ideas back and forth and share and
develop and relationships mm-hmm. with your colleagues.
Many of those people will have their own website. So once again, it's kind of this treasure trove whenever you run into something like that. Plus, you know, so much of education is about relationships. You know, I deal with the technology, and to me, the technology is the enabler to get to that next level and develop some of those relationships. You know, you talk about, you know, being a professional teacher and things, and it's that continual growth, and there's always something new to learn out there.
And it's silly to reinvent the wheel.
Yes.
And so we need to lean on one another and help one another so we're not each starting from scratch every time. Let's learn from each other's successes and failures. Mm-hmm. And most teachers are more than happy to say, hey, I tried that and it was not good.
Right.
So
I
tweaked this and it worked much better. Uh-huh. Trust me on that one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the things like that mm-hmm. with those feeds are awesome. And so I think you're going to put links to these things
notes. Yeah, we'll make sure that we get the link in the show notes here to the National Book Festival and things available out there at the Library of Congress website.
Right.
And particularly, you know, the audio podcast and the video podcast, there's going to be a lot of resources out there for you.
Very cool.
All right. Thank you. My technology pick of the week this week is Windows Essentials 2012. I'll provide a link in the show notes, but this particular pick is brand new as of August 7th. Microsoft has recently updated what they call their Live Essentials or Windows Essentials series, and this in particular, what interests me for educators is they've updated the Movie Maker application mm-hmm. and also the Photo Gallery. Huh? I don't know, did you ever use Photo Story?
No.
A lot of teachers, and these are back in the XP days, so, you know, back a decade ago, but still many people are still using it. Photo Story allowed you to, like, import a picture and then just hit record and narrate, do the narrations and things over and put together
a little
movie, a little slideshow. Whenever they transitioned from XP to Vista to Windows 7, they created what they call it's a Windows Essentials plugin pack, and this is free, but it is an extra install. But they've really improved, particularly the Movie Maker version of this.
I like Movie Maker a lot.
They've simplified it in many ways, in that we're used to having like tracks where you have a video track. And the previous version to this did not allow narration, which was, you know, almost crippled that. the application. Sure. So, I mean, you could show a video. You know, we do things with the flip cams and go in there and add titles and do some of that. But they have finally added narration back to this, which is the number one reason to do this. And I installed this on all of the new ITC computers. So this is available to anybody in the lab and anybody that, you know, in our college that received a new computer this year. It has improvements with video stabilization. So, you know, doing some technical details, mm-hmm. but in particular for the narrations and things. So you'll have your video track with sound. You can lower the volume on that and then do a voiceover nice. Narration. And they do the same thing. It works very well with photographs and things. So a lot of things that you deal with, you know, with the Library of Congress, right. that you could go out there and just do a little short narration and turn it into a little movie. And the other thing with this update, the movie, whenever you save it, is actually an MP4 video.
Oh, nice.
So that's compatible with both Mac right. and PC and uploads very well to YouTube as well. So
now my computer, I don't have a new one.
As long as you need to be running Windows 7, this is compatible with Windows 7.
Okay. So, and is it something I need to go out and find? Or
and I'll provide a link in the show notes here that has this link out there. So it also has the new SkyDrive app. I do not install that one because, you know, one of the issues that we deal with in education all the time is our computers, you know, our laptops check out, our lab computers, our multi-user people, you know, right. 20 people sit in front of that one computer during the day. And this is, you know, this is a problem we're struggling with the iPads. So if somebody has a solution to this, please write into the show. But getting the information off of the iPad is one of the challenges. And, you know, everybody's using Dropbox and doing sure. email accounts. But that doesn't work so well when you have a card of 30 of them. And it's like, I don't want to set up 30 different emails because I don't have, you know, time to check, you know, the half dozen email accounts that I check now.
Right, right.
To add all of that and then set up Dropbox accounts.
That's a good point.
Then you have a problem with multi-users. Are you sharing a password with different people? Those are some issues that we have to work out. There's, you know, I'm sure that there's people out there that have solved this, but we're still working through some of the logistics of that. It would be much nicer if they had an SD card or USB port, you know, that you could plug in and copy that off. But right now they're not doing that.
Nope.
So. But anyway, back to the Windows Essentials 2012. So I don't install the SkyDrive app because that requires a Windows Live account or a Windows account to log in and do all of that. So we kind of balance, you know, is it a multi-use computer or
is
not?
It right.
But SkyDrive certainly has made a number of improvements this month, and I'm really getting a lot more use. But again, you know, that's more for my personal use that I'm using that for, and organizations and things with this cloud computing. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier. You know, there's this march to this cloud computing,
right.
but yet we've never been there before. So, you know, is it a trusted source? And organizations, particularly corporations, just outright ban it. I know that IBM completely bans Dropbox.
Oh, really?
If you're an IBM employee, you cannot use it.
Wow.
Because they're concerned about the security issues, and they've had some security issues in the past and
right.
things. You know, the cloud computing provides wonderful services and things, but it's beyond your IT department's control. So
true.
They can't help you whenever you have a password problem or yeah. you've been hacked in some way or another. Plus the confidentiality of information and things that, you know, if there were some problem or something, that discoverability,
right.
mixing that personal and professional.
Yeah,
so be very careful.
Yeah, it's one thing to put your coursework up there or just things that we've created, but it's another thing to put confidential
yeah.
information and
yeah.
especially information about someone else.
Yeah, and all that. So, I mean, you know, everybody, corporations, schools, higher education, we're all working through all of these different things, but these conversations need to be had and,
right.
and some of these details worked out because the capabilities continue to grow. Sometimes at the expense of some of the security and the, you know, the back end things that, you know, IT departments handle on a daily basis. So just be careful out there and, you know, make sure you observe your organization's rules on that. So what do you have for your tech pick this time?
Well, something I found is, instead of hardware this time, we've sort of talked about hardware the last couple of mm-hmm. times that we've done this, but this is something online. It was one of the blogs from the Library of Congress. And through the picture this from the prints and photo division, and they have a collection based on, it's called It Happens Every 4 Years, And it talks about the Republican and Democratic conventions.
Oh, that's very
that
timely.
Are happening.
Yeah, coming up this week and next week.
Right. And so there are all types of images and documents and things that are related to those of the past. So, you know, as we're teaching and we want to pull in different documents, different types of media so students can get information, you know, with the Common Core, we're hearing where we want to present students information in multiple formats and multiple perspectives so they can gather information and create. And I thought, well, this is really cool because it's something students may or may not really be interested in. They know it's happening, but it's like, yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. And so this might be a way to get them interested a little bit, just to talk about an introduction to it and look at some of the past events. And then as we get closer to the presidential election and the inauguration and all of those, that we have these items from the past collected in the Library of Congress, you know, the same thing, to start gathering some of those and just have a dialogue with students about that. Mm-hmm. Different grade levels, different, you know, difficulty. And that, so on that blog, you can find an introduction to it. And even more so, though, if you just go on that front page of Library of Congress and start looking up the conventions, elections, anything like that, you're going to find a lot of really neat old motion pictures, old audio, campaign speeches, campaign songs, all of those things that might be kind of cool to use in a classroom.
Okay, so that's called It Happens Every 4 Years, and we'll be sure to have a link in the show notes for that.
Very cool.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That wraps it up for episode 135 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom
and Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.